Oh, well, I think we're close enough we can get started.
Hello, people. Again. Hi.
Hi.
I'm J.M. Tuffley from an internet roadside stop called needcoffee.com. We cover many things, pop culture, music, games, movies, and stuff. I frequently contribute to the music podcast called The Soundboard, and also that train wreck thing some of you might have heard of called Weekend Justice. It's 3 hours, and that's all I know about it, really.
I'm John Raven. I've been a panelist or staffer with Bread Track for about 5 years now, and I got into Top Gear basically off of watching Clarkson make a fool of himself on QI.
Insert panel show here. Yeah. Clarkson making a fool of himself on.
Yeah. Clarkson making a fool of himself on BBC News.
Well, I think we should take all these pictures and outside and have them shot.
The one show. It's interesting for many things. So welcome to Top Gear, everybody. Mm-hmm. Top Gear.
Yes,
Top Gear. So the last series is Series 18.
Yep.
Which was interesting in the fact that I think they always have this thing with the balance between the films mm-hmm. and doing the show part. And Willman's talked about this a lot on this blog, where it's like we're always trying to keep the balance because we don't want to keep it too ridiculous. I think, in comparison to the last series, I think they kind of get closer to that, which is always somewhere in the middle between the goofy and not. I appreciate the fact that they didn't try any stunts this year because they let the stunt thing go, which...
Yeah, that turned out so well, and I'm sure it's going to really contribute to the swinging.
Yeah, they got that all out in the one film, which was great. Who got close on the leaderboard this year? Did we have a lead change?
We do actually have a new leader.
Yeah.
Are you talking about cars or are you talking about the celebrities?
The celebrities, yeah.
Celebrities. It's now Matt LeBlanc. So anybody that's watched episodes, which brings up a good point, I wanted to question is like how do you guys feel about this season? There were more North Americans. Who were the star in the reasonably priced car than we had British celebrities.
Yeah, it was a bunch of Americans and Matt Smith, I think.
Yeah. Matt
Which,
Smith,
as it goes, very good. It's a very good get.
Matt Smith, the lead singer of Blur, and I think that was it, really. I
mean, it was the bassist.
We get one Canadian in Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds was funny, though. I'll give him that.
Yeah. Was Rowan Atkinson on it?
That was the previous season. And the
because
funny thing about that...
LeBlanc had topped him.
And the funny thing about that, and I don't know if you've heard this, but after they aired the Top Gear episode, he actually wrecked his car. The Phantom he was talking about on the show, he actually wrecked it not long after that show aired.
Yeah. Well, you got paramedics on the scene, so are you injured? you know what, I'm taking the mustache off. It just keeps coming... It's starting to come off on its own. But I really loved, I think one of my favorite in the interviews, Will.i.am's story about getting his car. His mom, found out about it and wouldn't let him.
You sit your ass down. What's this I hear about you having a car? You ain't had no car. You give me them keys.
It was a Fiero. It's fine.
Yeah.
So, and what are we at on the leaderboard on the cars?
Oh, shoot, I don't recall, actually.
Did we have a change?
Adam V8.
Still up?
Adam V8.
Okay.
Okay.
That was on, I think that was Series 16 that jumped on.
Okay, okay, so we didn't have a leaderboard change there.
So that was the cars are the least, are the thing I paid the least attention to on this show.
It's only a show about cars.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Oh my god, we have a place to go in the name!
Have you written a book?
We're going to have to sue you now.
Yeah. Have you written a book yet? Okay. All right. Well, you're done.
We're
going to
shoot you out.
What? Kill me again? Really?
I think the Netherworld World Float is looking for you, actually, to shoot you out of it.
We're going
to
go so. Do the drive-bys once again. Which I did love when they, kind of buried the hatchet, had him back, I believe in Series 17 for the... The Amputees Road Team.
Which is a great film.
Yeah,
which probably one of the best films they did that series.
Mm-hmm.
What was the people car- the people the scooter one was that the
yeah,
series?
Yeah, no, the scooter. Yeah, I was thinking about when they had the
yeah,
war
yeah.
veteran.
That just reminded me of that
off road team. Yeah.
The Winter Warrior.
Yeah. Yeah. What did you guys think about the off road rambling scooters? And of course, once again, you know the team and their ambitiousness gets beaten by what already works.
Ambitious, but rubbish.
Which actually brings me up. Has anybody? All right, this is going to be telling for myself, but I'm not ashamed. Who's a brony in here? All right, we got at least a couple, and one who's pointing to someone else to admit that they are. It's okay. No judgments here.
Not yet. Later, though.
I,
on the internet.
For any of the bronies out there, I saw a great clip. Somebody had taken footage or the audio from Top Gear and spliced it over My Little Pony. That was great because the challenge goes back to an episode where character Rainbow Dash and Applejack race each other.
They're coming around the bend now. Right on, lad. And across the line.
Yeah, you know, that could be the one context where Hammond isn't shorter than everyone else.
Oh. Well, and there was another thing I saw, an image that came from Tumblr of the three hosts as ponies. And I had to look really closely at Hammond's cutie mark. Wait, a pie and a key. What? Oh! Pikey! I mean, couldn't we just have like a cowboy boot or a big, stack of American cheddar or something? Well, so I have a question for the audience. What was your favorite challenge this series? Anyone? The scooters. Scooters was number one.
The thing that didn't involve a car. Awesome.
Yeah.
I did. Was the Italian one this year?
Yeah, the Italian. That was the Italian.
Where Richard's car broke down, and the guy went to pick him up, and then he said like two words to him. The guy got back in the truck and left.
And that's one thing I thought I'd love to do if I could just get the really nice suit, have enough money for the helmet, and then just have a bunch of beautiful women following me as Italian Stig.
But where would you get the bus?
I'll borrow the one for the zombie for president. But we got two Stig cousins this series because we had Stig's Italian cousin and Stig's Chinese cousin, which you apparently don't want to get too close to.
Was a little hyperactive. Probably should have laid off the sugar a bit, I do like when they were test driving the Chinese cars.
Oh yeah. And the obvious knockoffs.
Yeah.
It's like, because we don't. I mean, and that certainly seems to be an issue in China, because it's not just the cars or the Starbucks, as they point out, but of course there was a big issue with counterfeit iPads. Yeah. So people stealing that.
Clarkson's inability to do popular culture in interviews. What is okay, so I'll throw this out to the audience.
I don't am.
Yeah. So Clarkson's worst sort of mistake in an interview. What do you think? Because he likes to try to sound like he knows, and then you just completely figure out that he doesn't know anything that the guest is there for.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise and what's her name from that spy movie?
Cameron Diaz.
Yes, but there was a woman involved, so we can get past that.
It's the thing I always notice about him. Like, as soon as you get a beautiful woman in that chair, whatever positions that he has taken in the past suddenly reverse.
I think the prize is a wonderful car.
See, also Kristen Thomas Scott.
Oh, dear.
It's such a vulgar car. Yes, it is. How far, and just to take a gauge, how far in the Top Gear viewing do we go back? Do we start with,
the
2002. Yeah. Well, you can, because if you go through Netflix, you can start with series 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it'd be interesting, I mean, and I think it
because nobody wants to see the series with Jason in it, do we?
Yeah, I'm curious because I came into this about series 14, so you know, like I kind of want to see what this.
It was a well-oiled machine by the time you got there.
Yeah.
Season one was they had Ed from if anybody else watched Wheeler Dealers, they had him on a couple of shows.
So they had him on a couple of shows. That. They had him on a couple of shows, and I think it was Jason
yeah.
Dawes.
So you have season one. Yeah. If you watch that and you like Wheeler Dealers, that's fun.
Yeah.
We have some room in the back.
Back there.
On the BBC America because the Olympics. Showing Top Gear, they've been showing. Is it season 2 where Jason, where May was there?
Yeah, season series 2 is May's first.
So they've been showing this summer.
Yeah, they've been going through that, and I love the fact that they get to label it Lost episodes, where Lost means that no one was watching the channel when we aired them the first time. So, I love that, and they can keep doing that. I also love the fact that, as far as BBC America is concerned, that they did do the thing where the first airing is almost commercial-free, which is nice, because particularly the thing that gets whacked the most in the BBC episodes are the BBC America episodes are the news segments. And those are, outside of the films, the best part of the show, I think. Because it's where you get to see the three of them actually interact with each other in a way that doesn't feel forced. Because sometimes you can watch it and go, yeah, that was a script thing. But it's very natural between the three of them at this point. So it's very nice to see the news segments in their entirety, where he finds things on the internet. So
I loved it. And, yes, you first.
Yeah. Which of them is a real mechanic in there? Because they build that stuff like, I'm going to have like a total staff and they don't touch a ratchet or a really has their hand, get their hands dirty.
Well, May and Hammond are kind of hobbyists with this, but none of them actually has a degree in it or kind of came from that kind of background. It was because May had studied music.
Hammond was in radio.
Yeah, and James was a journalist.
Clarkson has a PhD in mechanical engineering.
Well, he does, but
honorary.
Yeah.
Honorary. We got to series 16 or 17 before he actually mended something. That doesn't really. And that was a light.
I think the only thing he's built himself that actually worked was the car used to cross the channel. Well, I don't know. It's a miracle.
Yeah, he had a boat.
I want two outboard motors because I want more power.
But the channel race was fun. I love the fact that they thought for about 3 seconds they could try to beat Richard Branson's record. Which was great because then they all looked at the clock and go, okay, now we haven't beaten his record and we're still out here. So.
And one of the things that we got this season, I love the distracted driving challenge, especially the James getting in there in the full sleeping bag. Like I'm in here now and I can't move anything but my knees and they've turned up the air or the heating to full. Which was so that kind of leads into what is your favorite prank that they played on each other? Oh, in the back.
Yeah,
way back.
Way back. When they had the 18-wheeler competition. Yeah, and they put in the cars or the thing that was most precious to them to see if they could start on a hill.
I think the number of times that the drum kits have been destroyed. Drum kits and pianos, it's rarely ever Richard's stuff. I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
And caravans. Don't forget about caravans. All right, that's you in the way back with the beard.
Yeah, I like how they always make fun of Richard Hammond's habits and try to make him sick. Oh yeah, wasn't it in Vietnam just like everything with seafood?
I can relate to that because if you go anywhere you go, you have a squick about the local stuff, and I'm real picky about that, so I can understand. Yeah, Rice Krispies. Yeah, I'm with you there, man. So.
See, I'm the guy that's like, oh, what, you want to go to McDonald's? We've got McDonald's at home. Eat the stuff that's going to have you, you know, that's going to give you the trots in 3 hours. Just don't be afraid.
Someone in the back with a really big axe, which, by the way, awesome.
Yeah.
Dumping Jeremy's caravan off the
cliff. Yes.
Oh, God. I remember watching that. And, you know, when they're interviewing him down at the base of the cliff, and you just see
he's got the ice cream cone.
And I was just, ah! What is it? What happened?
Let's go back there.
The America episode with the paintings on the cars.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I know people in Alabama who love that episode.
Alabama, I don't.
Absolutely. Yeah, just curious. Where in Alabama do you live?
Well, I grew up in Enterprise.
Yeah.
Lower Alabama, right around Mississippi.
Right around, yeah, right around where they were. I.
LA.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, it's UCLA. It was a corner of Lower Alabama.
Yeah. I actually have the comfort of living near Huntsville, so.
Long time, great. Just don't.
I know. I still had to get out with a balloon over the wall. It was weird.
Yeah, I applied for a job there, and it was just like, well, you're not, even though you've got your law degree, you're just not smart enough.
And it was, in fact, because of that lovely trip to Alabama that the U.S. Department State Department said the next time they came over, they had to prove they were filming a factual program, which led to...
We can't be entertaining.
We're not being funny at all. Let's go back there in the back.
Oh.
Yes, you.
I'm not sure if this is a prank or not.
I think that's hair gel.
Yes, they're both incredibly flammable. I mean, we wouldn't be surprised if Richard just one day spontaneously. We have one in the third aisle, yes.
I thought it was my favorite, but one of the prominent one is when they were in Africa and they were trying to sneak in the horse or cow's head into the tent. Oh.
And then the sudden realization from Hammond that it was, in fact, his tent.
I think one of my favorites still is making sure that Hammond's radio played only Genesis. And they. Yes, sir.
I was thinking the one where they rigged James's brakes. Every time he pressed his brakes, the horn would go off.
Oh, yes, you and with your hand raised in the back here. The glasses.
It wasn't really a prank per se, but when James May picked the Aston with no AC and no
CC.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Didn't he have like a little fan there in the car with him or something?
They did prank his car, though. They changed the letters to spell knob.
Oh, yes, Empire.
So, one of those things on top here that's not funny and actually hilarious at the same time is when they were in the Andy special when they ran into the back of May's car and he's deathly afraid of heights.
The machete incident.
Yeah. Well, the one where his car broke down and they kept like, or they had them all tied together and they kept ramming it.
The car show.
Yeah.
Hammond! Sorry, mate.
And it was great because actually what triggered the machete incident was Richard running into the back of his car. And then once they got to the side, he pulled off with the machete and pointed at it and said, listen, that hasn't been funny since series 12.
By the way, BBC One, you're going to have to bleep that.
I love the fact that Richard tried to do an ad for Wipeout.
Yeah.
Yes.
The super glowing James May's radio to only play really loud techno music.
Dubstep. I think James has secretly fallen in love with dubstep.
And I don't know if this counts as a prank, but when they were showcasing the people who were illegally parked at BBC, I was like, that's in front of the delivery man. No, that's a... Dogs just want to get out there and do their job, but there's a little Fiat Panda right in front of them. Who drives that? Who drives a Fiat Panda that works at the BBC that we know? yes, in the back.
I have actually, I don't want to hijack, but what was the story with Richard Hammond's accident?
Which one?
Are we talking about
the one that killed him?
The accident? Okay. Yeah, it's actually funny because since BBC promised not to play it again, BBC America didn't make that promise, obviously. So we've seen it a lot.
I don't think I've seen it on Netflix. So
it's not on Netflix, which is the interesting part. It's the one that's not on Netflix. But it's... I think the deal with that was that, and he'd written about this in his book, that he will to this day blank out for long periods of time and not remember things. I don't know, and I don't know if you can ever tell this on screen, but they've done a really good job of making sure you can't tell it on screen. But there are the headaches and things like that. There are some lingering issues he's mentioned from that that probably aren't, they're probably going to stay with him.
I don't even know the story, that's why I'm asking.
Okay, so they were doing a car test on, or he was doing, what Hammond's wheelbox on the show is that he will do these races with these off-road cars or things like that. And one of the things that he was doing was he was doing a speed test on one of the fastest cars in the world, basically. It was, yeah.
Yeah,
it was a rocket ship car, and he was just trying. They were just doing, you know, some runs, and they had actually filmed the run that they were going to put on the show. Because they do the run, they filmed it a couple of times to make sure that, you know, when the cameras are no failures, all of that. So they actually did like maybe two, maybe three runs, and it was actually on the last run when the tire blew on the front right side, and he tried to control it into a skid, which he did, and then it skidded off the track and flipped over. And because the rocket car sort of had a bit of an F1 car sort of build to it, where it's a short, not really a cockpit, but it was short, which also plays into if he had been just a bit taller, it would have clipped his head.
May was supposed to be the original person.
Yeah,
that
May was originally supposed to be doing that. Yeah, if any of the other two had done it, they would have clipped their heads. But what happened is it rolled over upside down and went for several yards because it was still going at speed. So it was basically digging into the ground at the head harness part. And that's apparently when that happened, that was where Richard's injury to his head happened. I know they actually, I think this was mid-series that this happened while they were filming. It was mid-series. And I think did they abruptly stop the series or did they edit around it, for those of you in British time?
They stopped.
Okay. Because we got it like 2 years later. So, but they stopped the series and then they brought it back, 8 months later? About 8 months later, they were able to bring the series back. And even at that point, it was about, I would say, two or three series before Richard did serious supercar tests. Because they would either have Clarkson do most of the speed tests, or in the rare occasion, even in later seasons, where James started testing the supercars, was because sometimes Richard couldn't.
Series immediately after that, yeah. Bring him back. You can tell on him because he gets angry really quick, and he's really sharp.
you could see his personality change.
Yeah, yeah.
Dramatically for those two seasons while he was still trying to sort things out that he was going through.
Yeah, if you, yeah, which is interesting to watch. And I think also in his book, he mentions that a lot where he's talking about
right.
trying to not...
Too soon.
Yeah, he came back too soon. And yes, sir?
Was that one of the reasons why he snapped when he did the Alaska thing? Or the North Pole ride?
The pole thing wasn't... It had been, I think, in Showtime had been a couple of series removed from it, but it was still around that time. And, that had a lot to do with it because Richard didn't think he was ready to do something like that yet.
Oh, well, on a much lighter note, we've now had all three new series doctors from Doctor Who on as the star in the Reasonably Priced Car, all in different cars, although it certainly seems like Matt Smith has certainly puts it the best time out of the three of them.
Although you could argue that the seed is a much quicker car than the other two.
They even say that on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The C apostrophe D.
Yeah. The one person I'm surprised from who hasn't done it who I would expect to do it is Barrowman.
Yeah.
I'm really surprised Barrowman hasn't done it yet because he's done every other television show in the UK. So I don't know if he's saving Top Gear or
maybe. Well, he just feels like, well, if I can't sing, what's the point?
Singing, exposing things.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, you know, I mean, if you go back, even at one point, you get Colin Baker on the show.
Yeah.
With the sci-fi villains contest, and then they bring him in to become a ringer or something.
Yeah, we got it. In the back. In the back.
Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on Top Gear USA?
Okay, I'll let you go first because I may have to go in defense of. But
all right, you know what? I recently got a hold of season one. And I attempted to watch it all the way through. I thought the Las Vegas challenge was interesting. Of course, it, you know, similar things have been done on Top Gear, or we'll call it Top Gear as an original Top Gear.
Mothership Top Gear.
Mothership. The primary Top Gear.
OG Top Gear.
Top Gear from the motherland. And it was, I don't know, let's wait. Revlich Wood, Tanner Faust, and
Adam Carrara.
Whenever I watch it, and the in-studio segments, you know, Adam Carrara, of course, being the comedian, being the actor, is very good at that. Tanner and Revlich are just wooden and stocky.
They've gotten rid of the studio segments.
Which
I don't know. I like that part about I love that part about Top Gear, and like how they just don't interact as well in the studio, of course. It's the opposite situation once you get into a challenge outside the studio, and Adam isn't really, I think, as good at being improvisational or being, spontaneous. But of course, Rutledge and Tanner, having done this for most of their careers, are just able to jump right into it and be themselves.
I do like the American show a bit. I do. I think the reason why is this. I think I give the first series a pass because of Top Gear original series one. I give that a pass because, again, it's that thing where of the three people who were on New Top Gear that first series, Clarkson was the only one who had been on it. Hammond had just come out of his science show that he was doing.
Ascended fanboy.
Yeah. And, Dawes had been on old Top Gear, but he in a peripheral kind of way. So they kind of thought, okay, this will work. And then the chemistry just wasn't there between the three of them, although I will say, because they figured out Hammond and Clarkson could kind of go off against each other, and that would be, so we need somebody else that will not agree with both of them, which I love.
Enter
James May. And I love the fact that even if you go back to old Top Gear, where everyone else took shots at Clarkson, and I think that's what I love about it, because that's what James May brought in. Was the fact that if you've seen any of the old Top Gear, at least Clarkson's run, where the other hosts were allowed to do things other than test cars, when they actually got to put their own personalities in and take shots at Clarkson and stuff, because that happened a lot. But I love the fact that that when they brought James in, it was open season on Clarkson, and Hammond felt a little more comfortable doing it, and it sort of opened up the chemistry a bit. What I like about American Top Gear is that at least I can kind of ignore Adam because I know he will wreck the car and be out of the challenge because that's what he does. I really do love Tanner. Tanner's a really good driver, and I do like what he adds to it as far as the driving element. I like Rutledge. Rutledge is funny, and I love that guy to death. He is so funny, and I also watch his NASCAR thing. And I don't watch NASCAR. I saw the NASCAR thing he does with Petty, which is great. I like the fact that they haven't tried, they've strayed a little off the format, and I think the studio stuff doesn't work for them. I think they work better out with the cars on the challenge, and I also love the fact that, because it always felt awkward in the American show where they went from, you know, the films that were really working and you really get into them, and then they break back to a studio segment where you don't feel that with the British version because there's a bit more of a flow to it. And, you know, they talk about the film in between stuff, and there'll be, in the British show, there'll be sight gags about the films in the show, which they didn't do as much because a lot of times what they did with the American version is they filmed the studio segment before they actually did the challenge. So I like the fact that they got rid of the studio challenges, and I think the studio bits. I think the other thing is, if you're going to have stars in a reasonably priced car, get stars. If you can't, don't do it, and I think they've decided reasonably they can't get people big enough to do a show on the History Channel. So, you know...
Well, I don't know. They've gotten Tim Allen for one, I think.
They did, and that was kind of the biggest get they got. I think maybe Tim Allen and Snoop Dogg. But, you know, the Pawn Stars guys, really? I don't care how fast Chumley goes in a car.
Well, I mean, if you notice that stuff, all those Discovery-owned channels, there will be constant crossovers. I mean, you have Johnny K plus 8 on American Chopper. American Chopper going on Say Yes to the Dress.
And even when they were doing the studio segments, they didn't do the crossover or the guest that I wanted, which is Jamie or Adam. Which is the one they should have had. But for the most part, I'm happy they cut the studio stuff because, as he was saying, the challenge stuff works a lot better. And I think what they've also done is, particularly in later series, the new season started, particularly in later series where they have done challenges that are closer to the host personalities instead of just throwing them into a situation. The one I really like is the first Cars one from the second series. They did a challenge where they told them to get something that was approximate to the first car they ever had, and they did a race, which I love. I love the most dangerous Cars one they did, where Rutledge, in a Clarksian move, actually filled the trunk of the Corvair with the unsafe at any speed book as part of a stability race. So there are things that I don't like about the American show, but I can. It's Top Gear, and since we don't have actual real Top Gear right now, and it's gonna be a while, I can handle these guys. That's fine.
Yes.
But the closer real Top Gear in America is the car show in Corella on Speed Channel.
Which is funny because they originally, when NBC tried to take a shot at it, Corella was one of the hosts. So I find that funny. I do like his show though.
I still would really love to see Jay Leno as a host, but I know he's never going to do it. Yes, that.
What about the Drive Network? On too much him. Anybody watch that? It's a fantastic show. I always prefer it. It's really cool spots for me as far as like gear and stuff.
Especially since they've paired up with Jalopnik.
Yeah.
Didn't Speed have a version of this at one point?
Speed did have a channel with the Corolla stuff because he was it was linked to his podcast before they went live with his show.
Mm-hmm.
The other version, the American version is fun. I saw a couple episodes of the Australian version, and I kind of get why that one didn't work. particularly, I kind of get why that one didn't work, because instead of there being some sort of chemistry between the three hosts, what they took from that was that the three hosts should always hate each other always. And that doesn't work. So,
of course, you don't get that when they guest star on Top Gear.
No, you don't get that. They were the nicer version.
I left them best in Cubicle 3. Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
So going off that, do you think we'll see a UK versus US challenge?
We were talking about that before we started the panel. Yeah. I think at this point, because actually Clarkson, Hammond, and May have said very nice things about the American show. So I think, and because Clarkson and Woolman also produced the American show, I think strategically they're saving it because they know that's the one everybody wants. I think you're getting very close to it. I think honestly, and because Hammond, Clarkson, and May have been starting to talk about, and even Woolman have been starting to talk about the end of this version, we're closer to the end of this than the beginning. I think you're going to get that sooner than later, just because it's better for them to do it while they're still doing the UK version. So I think maybe down the road, at least maybe 2 years, if history keeps going with it, which history seems to be very pleased with the ratings on it. So I think you're going to get at least a series, maybe more. But if it goes there, I think if it goes a year or two more, I think you're going to see the UK US version.
And I think you're going to expect a lot of colonial jokes.
would you be conflicted then? Would you be going for the US or the UK?
Oh God, UK, no contest.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, and I find this. I've thought about it in my head. I think Hammond and Rutledge would get along really well, and the rest of them would kill each other. That just makes fun television. And then Hammond and Rutledge can keep commenting about the rest of them trying to kill each other, and that's your show.
Well, let me ask this question: what kind of challenges do you think we'd see between U.S. and the UK?
I know they would show up in Revolutionary War gear.
Yeah. There has to be
driving like, a Camaro and a Mustang.
There has to be some sort of NASCAR thing. I would imagine there has to be some sort of NASCAR thing. But
him and drive on the opposite side of the road.
T-delivery.
Way in the back.
All I know is the UK version will probably cheat.
Yes.
No, really?
I think
it's interesting that a country that during the Revolutionary War prided itself on being able to stand in straight lines and do everything in order while we were running around like guerrilla fighters and whooping them would suddenly switch tactics and become cheating bastards.
Although to be fair, of the three American hosts, I think Adam would probably be the most likely to cheat and be really good at it. So
he does have that sneakiness quality about it.
Yes, sir.
I think my biggest problem, first of all, was I'm not a car guy.
Yeah.
I just like the show. I drive a Prius.
I'll actually defend you there because I started looking into new cars the other day, and when I saw 51 miles a gallon average, I'm like, oh God, I'm starting to change my mind about this thing that looks like a mouse next to my computer with wheels.
That
camera, what I liked about it was, they are not professionals, and so they're just mucking about. And then they get this guy, he's a professional racer, and how am I going to identify with him?
Yeah.
And that was my problem with the American.
And that seems to be the case, I think, at least for the Australian version, because they had a racer.
They had a race car driver in, I think, the first series, and didn't they replace him in the second series, or was that, So he was in the first series, and that's kind of part of the reason they dumped him was because the other two didn't like him. But that didn't really help very much for the next guy. They did. I think the other thing is, and I think where they keep it fun is they, at least the American version keeps it fun, where they give them challenges where you don't expect Tanner to win. And they give challenges where it's actually realistically possible that one of the other two will win. Probably not Adam. But But one of the other two could actually win, that it doesn't actually involve driving skill. Which is fair enough, because, you know, the British guys, come on, they do really well executed slides on tracks, but get them off the track, they're disasters. So, you know, I kind of get that, and but I like the fact that they've told it so. It, when you have the sequences that are specifically set up for Tanner to do stunt driving, are very well done, and they've actually set the challenges up where it's the other two could realistically beat him, and do frequently. So, it's good for that. Over here.
I had a question about the space shuttles. How much did it really cost? I mean, how much did it cost for them to build a bridge, a space shuttle, whatever you want to call it, and a rocket?
I actually don't know how much it costs.
A lot?
But to give you a clue, you can kind of tell as a series of Top Gear progresses how much of the budget they've actually spent. As far as how much of it is studio based and how much of it is a great film that we're going to Vietnam. We're going to Vietnam this week, and then we're just going to have a challenge endorse it. Yes, sir.
I'm wondering, have anyone seen the documentary Senna and the Top Gear's version of the Senna documentary and how they compare?
You know, I've got it in my Netflix queue, but I haven't done it yet because I'm interested in this man who can be so generous outside the track, and then just, you know, I'm going to put you on the track, being in a position where I'm going to make you decide whether to let me in front of you or to potentially kill you in a crash.
I may be wrong, but wasn't Clarkson one of the producers on the Senna documentary?
I'm not sure. I don't think.
It was the other one. It was the, the Eric Bana's thing. I think he was one of the producers on that. His documentary about the,
Beast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Senna one, the Senna movie, is really biased towards him. They really demonize Prost.
I agree.
He
made that Alan Prost look like
Yeah.
Yes, but Prost can get his own documentary.
Well, that's the beauty of a hero who dies young.
Yeah.
He's always going to be celebrated. There's never a chance for him to answer for his actions later on.
Yeah.
It's from a producing standpoint, it's hard not to turn that into a beautiful story that's going to make a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
Like people want to remember those who die young well and kind of gloss over any negative aspects of their life. But, so we were talking about NASCAR earlier. Who liked Hammond's visit to NASCAR and the Texas Motor Speedway?
I thought it was awesome.
The American Stinger. They make fun of. I like the American Stinger. They make
fun of.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You make fun of, or making fun of him for being American or for acting like an American? Or where are you?
Maybe it wasn't that episode. They had the cousin of the American
Stinger.
Big
Stinger.
Oh, yeah.
Cousin.
Well, and it's interesting to see Hammond going around and interviewing, of course, people that we know and recognize. You know, like Jimmy Johnson, and Jeff Gordon.
Jeff Gordon.
And of course, you know, over there they would know Juan Pablo Montoya better from his Formula One days. And I liked definitely how he compared it when Hammond interviewed him. It was like, well, you've got. You know, everything's so technical, so precise, and over here it's just, you know, it's a car, and it's like it's an engine, a steering wheel, and no brakes, no lights, and even though you're only going, you're making four turns, it's like turns, you know, at 45-degree angles. So I thought Montoya did a good job explaining why this is difficult, even though it, to the average European, it might seem kind of simple.
It was a great, I love the fact, and this is typical Top Gear, I love the fact that it was a really good film about NASCAR, that, you know, a couple of things that, oh, I didn't know that, and kind of actually makes you, you know, maybe not like NASCAR, but kind of understand it a bit more. And then we come back from the segment and Clarkson shits all over it. So.
And of course we also do the typical, let's show the rednecks in the pit. And in the field. Woo! The
The little remote controlled breast thing, that was interesting. It's like, well, people really have that.
I think that was the bit of the film Clarkson appreciated, actually.
Oh, no.
Right over here, sir. Yes.
It's not on topic, but when they compare vehicles, like if you've got to get wrong to the Toyota pickup truck that they tried to demolish. Obviously, the pickup truck did very well.
Yes.
I think Toyota actually
smashed it, and it still ran.
Which is why Clarkson picked it or a newer model for the pole trap.
Yeah.
And so did the camera crew. And I think actually the Hilux has made probably the most appearances in Top Gear, I think. Yeah.
They reused it for the volcano.
Because they used James, you reused the camera truck from the pole special for the volcano. So I think the Hilux has made the most appearances on the show. I may be wrong about that, but I think it is.
We're just in the background studio.
Yeah.
Or you know, when I started coming up with my own drinking game for the show, you know, the thing I would have to take a shot for is anytime the Bugatti Veyron was mentioned.
Yeah. Yeah, I think part of that was it's an exciting car, but yeah. I think the hosts once each of them had driven the car, I think the hosts were kind of like, we have to have this car back. We have to have this car back on the show as many times as possible.
I'm gonna interject with this. Who remembers Clarkson's GT?
Yeah.
and where is it?
It's back in the shop. Well, I sent it back.
How many miles to the gallon does it get?
Who cares?
And he was so excited. He was up to it when he was waiting for it.
Yeah, he looked. I love the progression.
Even that.
I love the progression of when he actually did the film for the car review, where he's so excited to be driving this car, and then you can see as that series and the following series goes, the progression of less excitement happens as he's waiting on the car, when he gets the car, when it starts to break down. It was fun to watch that kind of slope of this is where he's at with the GT.
But I think that's one of the things that, without realizing, a lot of people in the room would say they love about Top Gear, so there's kind of inside jokes.
Yeah.
And there's a relationship that you feel like you have with these hosts that you don't get on a lot of other shows.
Yeah.
And it may be something like a GT, but it may be something like great news about the Dacia Sandero.
Yeah.
And it's a running gag, and you get to laugh because you're
or Will you know Young.
Or Will Young. Yeah. Or James May's hair. Or Hammond's teeth.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
But you're part of it.
Yeah.
Does anybody remember what the delivery truck said that brought in the GT?
Oh, no. What was it?
Time delivery, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Time delivery?
And
yeah.
They delayed it for like years at that point.
They actually brought pianos and Morris Marinas faster, apparently. So. There was somebody over here? Yes.
Still on the GT thing, I thought it was funny that before it got the GT, he was like sucking up the Ford.
Yeah.
But he was on the waiting list.
So, yeah, how many American car companies are now, you know, ticked off at Top Gear? Because, I mean,
Dodge wouldn't let Hammond have a Challenger.
Right.
They had to go buy one.
They like Ford a lot. I mean, the Fiesta.
They do.
Yeah.
The Focus episode.
They think isn't the Mondeo the one thing that they can agree on?
Yeah. Well, it was that and the one people carrier they had. The Renault.
The Renault. Here's the thing, like, because they, you know, they did the memorial to Saab, and when they were doing it, and glossing over it, it's like, oh, this is the best one, like the ones that they liked, like, oh, this is a wonderful car, this is a wonderful car, and I kept thinking, you know, my gym teacher had one in middle school, and I thought it was the ugliest piece.
Funny you should bring that up. I was watching, they actually re-ran that. They do their Sunday marathons thing. They actually re-ran that the Sunday they ran the Mad Men episode where, spoiler, Price tries to kill himself in a Jag and can't start the engine. So I just thought that was funny. Yes, up here.
Talk about the Reliant Robin.
Oh, yeah.
Is that's actually another thing in my drinking game. You know, you drink every time he flips. And then, you know, conveniently, there's a local celebrity.
Apparently, what we've learned, if we've learned anything from Top Gear, the Reliant Robin is a slightly better space vehicle than it is an actual car. Yeah.
Has anybody in the room seen Cars 2? Yeah, and you know, you've got that little Reliant Regal as the informant. And, you know, when he's driving along, he makes that sharp turn and flips. I'm the only one in the studio laughing. I'm the only one in the theater.
I love the fact that they tried to do a speed test with it, and Sting got to the corner, the first corner, and it flipped.
Well, you know, it's like they say with the Robin Owners Club is like, well, what do you do when you get to a roundabout? Well, you just see where you want to go and you go right through.
In the back, yes.
On QI that he mentioned that when they were doing the flipping scenes, they made him take like everything out of his pockets, like cigarettes and everything, but then they had the big safety hammer with a big spike on it under the seat.
Well, I noticed they didn't do that the first time he actually flipped the car, because if you noticed, when he did it the first time, if you watched everything going to the side on the camera, there goes his phone, there goes all the stuff in the back. So I think they figured that out after the first time they tried to shoot that in the car.
And an interesting thing about Top Gear is, and QI is, you noticed, if you follow QI, after Clarkson made his disastrous comments about the workers who were on strike, the episode that he was supposed to be in got skipped, and they showed a rerun instead. I don't know, did they ever wind up showing it in the UK? Because, I mean, you were able to get it on, like, QI XL or available for download. But they did it actually eventually show that one.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's probably sharing a vault with the Buzzcocks episode with Russell Brand. Yes.
What about when they spoke about communist cars?
Yeah.
The communist car chain.
I love that, and I love that there was a callback, actually, to the earlier thing where Willman and Clarkson had did a bit for Old Top Gear on this on the very same thing. So there's like a little bitty callback in that film to the original thing where Willman and Clarkson went to Russia and test drove for Old Top Gear, which I thought was nice. Right there.
Any plans for the new next season? Top Gear ends, who you would like to see as a new Olsen?
For ooh,
what?
Well, I think that relates to what we were talking about earlier, where Willman and especially May and Clarkson have been very vocal about we are closer to the end of this version of Top Gear than we are to the beginning, which is vague enough to mean it could happen any day. I think there's also been some concern, at least Clarkson's been kind of vocal about it if you follow him on Twitter or anything, where occasionally he's really grumpy about why they can't shoot, or no, stop asking me when the new series comes back. I think that was very heavy during the summer, where people were asking him, when's the new series coming back? He goes, look, we're not back on until 2013. That's all I'm going to say about it. And then he starts to bitch about it.
We get that Christmas special or something, but it's like a New Year's special.
Right now the official line is that there is no new Top Gear until sometime in 2013. They're thinking earlier. They're thinking spring. And part of it is budget, obviously, because the BBC is cutting back, because it is publicly funded, and they did cut. They're cutting what BBC gets, because they've opened it up and said, well, now everybody has to get that money. So, yes, Channel 4 is getting some of that. I don't know why. I think part of that has to do with the budget cutback. Obviously, they know that Top Gear and Doctor Who are their cash cows, which is why you get, okay, we're splitting the season in half, we're going to show some of it here, and then we're going to show some of it here. And it's easy to give it a pass for this couple of years, because they had the Olympics, and every BBC camera crew on staff was doing the Olympics, I think there may be two series next year, but they haven't said. As far as who would host it after that, that's a large question.
Maybe we.
If they were going to leave, I wouldn't see why the BBC wouldn't. The question is, I don't know what the... I mean, Top Gear is the BBC's. Clarkson and Woolman don't own it. So it's likely in the event that one or all of them leave, someone will do it again.
Of the people from Fifth Gear, I guess?
Yeah. You know, I would say that, but, you know, Tiff's getting older, man. Tiff's getting older. You can't keep bringing him back.
Tiff was old on old Top Gear.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think it might recruit Ben?
Probably not. No.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Still the bad blood there.
Yeah, I think even if we get to next incarnation, I think it'll probably be Clarkson Woolman producing it, and I think that would sit well with basically everyone who watches the show if it's still those guys. Having said that, they also produced American Top Gear, and we already know what you think of that. So it's quite likely. I don't know, because Hammond had this thing a couple of years ago, and you may recall the temper tantrum that Hammond sort of had in public about his role on Top Gear, which is why he ended up, okay, BBC Worldwide went, okay, we'll give you a show on BBC America that's just you. Which is how Crash Course came about. So I think he's happier now that... And I think part of it with Hammond is a lot of his frustration with his lack of being able to do stuff is because of the accident and what he can do. And I think they're being overly cautious. But yeah, I think you get to that. But God, who would take over for them? I don't know. What do you guys think? Who do you think would take over for these guys on the bridge set? Ricky? Ricky? I'd seen something online where this question came up, and somebody said Robert Llewellyn, but then it would be all battery powered cars. So, and I love Robert Llewellyn to death, and I love Charged, but I think it'd be very difficult to do Top Gear as we know it with him on it. Although, he could be the James May of the next group. I think that would be lovely. But right. Yes, back there.
I'd love to see them get Chris Harris on it.
Sure.
Oh yeah.
Sure.
Like he's a great driver. He has a good sense of humor. You know, the way he presents things is very like it's like he's trying to get more people into the technical side of things. Like,
yeah.
He kind of teaches driving technique.
We've got maybe about 5 minutes.
Left. 5 minutes to go, people.
So one thing we want to do real quick. We got a couple prizes here. I've got a Red Dwarf book, Ooh. Better Than Life, and also a Doctor Who novelization of an Unearthly Child.
So, Terrence Dicks.
Yeah. So one. So I think we'll each ask a question. The one I want to ask from the India special. Can you tell me what one of the banners they put on the train said before and after it got ripped apart. Okay, I see I am the Stig. You had your hand first.
The English muffin.
And what happened to it later?
English muffin.
Yes. All right, come up, pitch it us. All right, so we still have the Better Than Life book?
Yeah, okay, so... I'm thinking of a question. How many times has JK been on the show for the reasonably priced car?
Just the car now.
And with the red?
Yeah, for the reasonably priced car.
Three?
I think that may be correct.
I think he's yes, on like the second
yes, he has, he's driven each of the cars, yes. Okay. That is correct. Yeah. He has come back for other things that were not the reasonably priced car. Yeah.
Yeah, and how many other people have we had be repeat guests?
Brian Johnson from AC/DC has been in loads of stuff in the last couple of years.
Yeah, and even this season he showed up like Kiss Hammond, or it was James.
So seriously, going back to your question about who should take up the show next, J.K. would be awesome, and Brian Johnson I think would be fun.
Rowan Atkinson
maybe, but God, how much would they have to pay him?
Yeah,
you know, Brian would be going out and recording and still be on tour a lot.
Yeah. Well, you know, as much as AC/DC records records
JK,
these days, I think it's reasonable.
Right.
It's not a shot at AC/DC.
Well, I was making a joke
yeah.
about AmeriCorps.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir.
He can do it while he's on tour. I mean, perfect place to do it.
Yeah.
Entries, whatever you call it, or stunt shows.
Yeah. So, to wrap it up, what have we got to do to get Top Gear live here? Seriously. What have we got to do? Because I've heard so much about the live show, and I actually wish it would come over. I think we've got time for one last thing. I think the guy with the axe gets it.
We get the colonies back.
We could, in fact, do that. And I believe...
I'm sure I really want David Cameron.
And I believe on that bombshell, I think we're done. Thank you very much.